Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
Holy crap, it's Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
It's a place for all the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
Look, by definition, if I'm interested in it, then it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
I'm in love with a nerd.
Oh man, have I missed that music. Welcome to episode 6 of Nerd Pride Radio. 6 is the first perfect number, and also the number of dwarves if Sneezy accidentally got shot in a tragic hunting accident. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. As it turns out, I am awesome. I mean, really awesome. Today is a great day. My name is Mike, and you're listening to Nerd Pride Radio. My co-host with me this week is Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, who died 5 years ago this month. Crikey. Oh, and also, before I get started, a special thanks to Joel. All right. Sounds a little rough. I know. I'm out of practice, but it's all right. I'm going to get back in the swing of this. I have been off for months now. I recorded 5 spectacular episodes and then just got tired. Sat on my butt for a while, but I found a way to work this into my schedule. We're going to give it a go for a while, see how it works out. I am hoping to make this a permanent thing. So we'll go ahead and get started. Before I get to my big topic, though, I need to revisit episode number 1 for just a minute. Way back in episode number 1, remember I talked about nerd pride, nerd shame, prejudice against nerds, kind of going over the idea that, have we gotten past some of that? I mean, things certainly seem better than when I was a kid, right? You know, have we gotten to a point where nerds are a little more accepted? And, oh man, just in the last couple months since I've been off the air, I have been reminded quite vividly that, no, we're not completely over it. I mean, yeah, I shouldn't complain. You know, being a nerd ain't so bad, but there's little things. First off, and this one, again, thanks to Joel for bringing this to my attention, but apparently there's a big deal, and if you go do a Google search on it, easy to find, but I had never heard of it. Apparently, some intern, a gal who works for Gizmodo, which is an online tech site, and she wound up going on a date through, oh great, now I gotta go look it up. One of the dating sites online. Anyway, she gets matched up with a guy named John Finkel. And some of you already recognize the name. She didn't. And she wasn't smart enough to Google his name beforehand. So she winds up getting matched up on a blind date through some dating website with John Finkel, who is the world champion Magic the Gathering player. All right? Which, to us, that's pretty impressive. World champion Magic player. I mean, this is a guy who has made, you know, I don't know, $250,000, $300,000, just winning Magic tournaments. Impressive. But here this girl goes on to write, what she's essentially writing is an article about the dangers of online dating, about how, no profile online can possibly encompass all the possible horrors that you might run across, and thus lists being a champion Magic player as a possible horror, a possible horrific thing that might happen to you in an online dating scenario. This from Gizmodo, a tech blog, a geek blog, and they're warning about the dangers of Magic nerds. I'm just shocked. Shocked and appalled at the whole idea of it. But that's just one example. The rest of it was personal stuff. My son and I went to Gen Con last month and had a spectacular time. Oh my god, this is my second time going to Gen Con, his first, and we had a blast. It was nerd heaven. And in coming back from that, in talking with various people about it, you know, most people know me, they know who I am. But, you know, when I listed it for vacation at work, I just said, I'm going to be gone for a few days for a nerd convention. And when people ask for details about it, you could see that, you know, most people, oh, okay, yeah, whatever you're into. It's as if I said I went on a bear hunting expedition or some other, you know, specialist hobby sort of thing. But you would repeatedly get these people who they'd give you this eye, this kind of look like wow, you would expose your kids to that? That's God, I can't believe you brag about that. And the idea that we use the term nerd so openly. I mean, when I describe myself, how else am I going to describe who I am, right? It's I named my website after Nerd Pride. That's my whole point. And people are just shocked that it just seems such a distasteful thing to them, and it comes across. All right, one specific example, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't want to make it sound like things are horrible. They're not. I just had a couple of reminders that, you know what, there's still some people who don't care much for nerds. All right. But I had one, a gal I work with, and we're going to call her Sandy for the sake of anonymity here. And Sandy is a little bit older than I am, but she has two teenage kids, like I do. I also have two other kids, but I have two teenagers. And so Sandy and I at work, we talk a lot about kids. It's a bonding thing for us that we share our horror stories of what it's like to have teenagers in the house and the things that go on. And, you know, we've become good friends based mostly on this relationship. And we get along really well. And so in conversation recently, I mentioned a teenage girl that both of us happen to know through our own kids. And this girl happens to be a real headache for her parents right now, and we were talking about that a little bit. And I just mentioned in passing that the girl had at one time shown an interest in our D&D group, that as we talked about D&D, she had just shown an interest in it. She doesn't actually play. She just happened to, at a public gathering, mention that, oh, that sounds really interesting. That sounds like something she'd like to do. That was all that was said. So I bring this up to Sandy. And now let's note in context that I said my D&D group, my Dungeons and Dragons group. So I made it clear that, you know, it's my group I play. And so you could see in Sandy's eyes, it was bizarre, this look of horror. I mean, she physically recoiled at the idea that I actually played D&D. And you could see that. And yet she also is my friend and certainly wouldn't want to be rude or hurt my feelings here. So she's clearly trying to control that impulse and not be blatantly disgusted to my face. And so watching her battle this out in her head was a little bit funny. But then came the next part of this revelation. And this was the shocking part to me. You could see the wheels turning in her head, and she made this connection to this naughty teenage girl who has, you know, again, just troubles with her parents, just keeping her in line and this kind of stuff. And she made this connection to, oh, an interest in Dungeons and Dragons. And you could see the revelation, her eyes roll up as if, oh, that explains it all. Yeah, the girl didn't even play D&D. She had just once mentioned it sounded interesting. And yet to Sandy, oh my God, that was it. Well, no wonder. D&D explains all the bad in the world. It was amusing again, because I just find it bizarre that people can be so quickly judgmental about stuff. And yet also really sad, because here's a person who I get along with, you know, have a friendship with, a relationship at work with, and to realize that, you know, I had never talked about my gaming life. I mean, I mentioned that I play games, and even that I've written some games and some gaming materials, but I've never specifically said Dungeons and Dragons in her presence before. And this was the first time. And just to see her visceral disgust at just the idea of it was a bit of a blow to the ego, you know? It's just kind of a gut shot. So again, I don't want to make it sound like this is all horrible or anything, but just a couple of weird reminders lately to go, you know what? It's not all wine and roses, is it? So, oh well. But hey, that's water under the bridge now. We're here to talk about Disney princesses, right? Is that what we're all excited about? Sweet. Because here's the thing. I have always loved animation. I've always had a fascination with Disney animation in particular, because Disney animation, Disney movies, those were the big ones when I was growing up. You didn't see animated cartoons come to the theater very often, and when you did, it was always a huge event, and it was always Disney doing it. Even through some of my formative years where we got The Fox and the Hound and Robin Hood and The Sword and the Stone. And look, I know there are people who will defend Robin Hood and The Sword and the Stone as being decent movies, or even The Black Cauldron. And maybe they were good stories. I'm not going to comment on that, but oh god, I hated that animation style. I hated that music style. I hated that it was cheap, cheap animation, and it just wasn't Disney quality. Couldn't stand it. And that Fox and the Hound, they went back to quality animation. Oh, crap story. So, but even through all of that, again, the big movies were Disney, so I've always been in love with Disney films, had a fascination with them. And just recently, well, I say recently, but it was actually the beginning of the summer, when I first started doing the outline and the notes for this particular episode, 3 months ago at the beginning of the summer, my family had just watched the new movie, well, it was new to us, Tangled, all right? The Disney story of Rapunzel. And, oh, I love that movie. I cannot say enough about the movie Tangled. It's brilliant. It is sweet and simple and charming. Rapunzel, as a heroine in this movie, is spectacular. She is appropriately naive, as someone who has been raised in a tower and sheltered from the world for her entire life should be, and yet is beautiful and charming, and they manage to make her talented and capable while being completely oblivious to how the world actually works. And it was very, very effective. If you watch that movie and you're not completely in love with this princess by the end of the film, there is something wrong with your soul, all right? It's a great film. And, yeah, there's a ton of really stupid stuff in it, okay? Some of the conceits of the movie, the way this bar full of thugs just suddenly softens just because there's music and singing. And, yeah, it's corny, but that's the whole point. And I want to say, the villain in that, the witch, the stepmother, foster mother, whatever you want to call her, was just one of the most brilliant villains ever. The most passive-aggressive, guilt-spewing mom ever. She was wonderful. And this, I can't tell you how much this means to me, the plot was not horribly contrived. Everything that happens in it, I mean, except for the random coincidence of her meeting the guy. Okay, he stumbles in and meets up, but that's what sets everything in motion. Other than that, everything that happens, you know, because you see the big build-up to the romance. There's some typical romantic comedy kind of setup things in there where you see this romance building up, and oh, but she trusts him, and now, uh-oh, some horrible Three's Company misunderstanding makes it look like he's being evil again. But it wasn't just some random Three's Company happenstance. It was actually arranged by the villain. It was actually all put together, and everything happened for a reason. And I really like that. I dig that. It was not, while being a fairy tale and a children's movie, it wasn't insulting. And I just liked it a lot. And so, my first thought on getting done with this movie, thinking how much I love this movie, I started thinking about the whole Disney princess line. Because I have some issues with the Disney princess line. And it occurred to me to wonder if Rapunzel, as part of the, as a Disney princess, she clearly is, was she going to be officially made part of the Disney princesses? And at the time that I was looking, no, she wasn't. She's not a princess. She's not in there. I could not understand that for the life of me. She would seem, if you're not familiar with the Disney princesses, let me take a quick drink here and I'll sum up for you. Ah, Diet Dr. Pepper. Best drink in the world, and they don't pay me to say that. The Disney princess line is the characters from a bunch of Disney movies who are mostly princesses or technically princesses, and it's mostly aimed at little girls, and there's lots of singing and dancing and a lot of dress-up and, you know, wearing fancy balls and waiting around for your prince to come. And you would think that Rapunzel would be absolutely perfect for this lineup because she is, in the movie, without being insultingly so, she is a girly kind of girl, all right? She enjoys dressing up, and she enjoys a wide variety of interests that would appeal to this group. And so it was shocking to me that she wasn't actually in the official princess line. I mean, it's been now over a year since that movie came out, and she's still not in there. But it turns out I had a whole spewing outrage of how could they possibly not include her. And now it turns out that they're going to. October 2nd, they're going to have some big ceremony. So she's in, and there goes a whole rant of mine. But there's plenty others to come. But here's my problem with the whole Disney princess line in the first place, is the intent of it is to appeal to, honestly, some of the worst qualities of these. They take a line of princesses who are either in and of themselves really awful role models, or they take the ones that are good role models and they highlight the most horrible aspects of them. All right, let me give you an example. All right, first off, let's start off from the beginning. All right, original Disney princesses, Snow White from Snow White, Cinderella, and Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. All right, these three princesses are from a day and age. I mean, they're all, you know, 1937 was Snow White, 1959 was Sleeping Beauty. That's the most recent one. And these are three princesses who are from a day and age when the role of a princess was to wait around for her prince, or be rescued by her prince, or to fall victim to some great evil and be rescued by, well, a prince. That's all that happens to them. That's their entire point. And their big moments, I mean, Snow White's big chance to shine in her movie is when, oh, she invites in all the woodland animals to help her clean and cook and take care of these men who are helpless and can't take care of themselves. But it's the celebration of her as the domestic mother figure. And there's nothing wrong with being a domestic mother figure, but that is her sole ambition and purpose in life. And that's what is celebrated in Snow White. And so that's the figure they bring forward into the princesses. Cinderella, again, you know, a poor girl consigned to a life of drudgery until she's saved by a prince. And then, thank God, she marries a rich guy, and now she can live happily ever after. And that's all there is to her, all right? Sleeping Beauty, even worse, all right? Sleeping Beauty, and I guess the part of the problem I have with Sleeping Beauty is not only is it an empty, vapid story, but, oh my God, it's the most dull of all of these Disney movies. I mean, seriously, at least Snow White and Cinderella were exciting movies. I understand what made them popular. All right, I've watched and enjoyed both of those films. I get it. But Sleeping Beauty, oh, that thing was just a snooze fest. I remember an interview, and this was years ago, with one of the animators who was, he was the lead animator for the prince in Sleeping Beauty. And he said, honestly, the single most boring character he has ever had to animate. He does not know how he got through that. It was terrible. Just a rotten movie. Okay, so, but those three, again, you can almost excuse them, right? Those are, it's from the 40s, the 50s, even earlier. That's, you know, that's just, it was a different time, right? So we'll let that one slide, right? But who's the next princess in the list? Princess Ariel. Now, I saw Little Mermaid and Princess Ariel. I saw the original movie in 1989 in the theater. And, oh my God, I hate that film. I just, again, it's a Disney movie. It was big, and it was wonderful, and it was epic, and it was very entertaining, okay? But you get to the end of the film, and the entire point is, again, for Ariel to win a man. That is the entire point of the whole story. And what does she do in the end? In the end, she gives up everything. Gives up everything. Her family, her friends, her whole life. And gives it all up so that she can be with her man. Yeah, you want to know a better version of The Little Mermaid? Go watch Splash. All right? With Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah. Splash was an amazing movie. All right? And in Splash, at the very end, as they're being hunted and tormented, and she could stay with him if she wanted to, all right? But then she'd have to give up everything. So what happens? No, instead, he goes with her. He dives into the ocean, and he gives up his life to be with her. A much better telling of that tale. Because the story is about the Little Mermaid. It's about her, all right? And I just, I hate the idea. I get it. It's the same story, but I just hate the idea in The Little Mermaid that, again, that's all she is she's someone who sings and brushes her hair and waits around for a prince to save her. I just, oh, I can't stand it. All right. So then, right, we've gotten past the vapid, empty-headed ones. After this, they start trying to make positive role models, all right, because Ariel was not that. So they move on, and we get Belle, Jasmine. Okay, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of complaint about those two. I love the movie Beauty and the Beast. Aladdin was all right. And I'm not going to complain about them as princesses. No. The one that's going to kill me is the later ones that they added. Now, Pocahontas, I have the same complaint about Pocahontas that I have about Mulan, but I don't really like Pocahontas because I thought it was a bad movie. So I'm going to focus on Mulan. I love the movie Mulan. Mulan was spectacular. Beginning to end, there was nothing wrong with that film. It was great. All right? And the problem I have is when you make Mulan a Disney princess, do you remember the matchmaker scene from the movie? The whole point is she goes to the matchmaker and they have all these other giggly little girls around her and they have to dress her up in the white makeup and the bright red pouty lips and the teeny tiny little feet in her geisha costume, and they get her all dressed up and it's not her. She hates that. Oh, how she hates that. And she rebels against that and finally goes off to be her own person and do her own thing, right? Right? You're with me on this. Okay, so now she becomes a Disney princess, and what's the role of a Disney princess? Oh, God. To sing and dance and play dress up. That's the one point of the movie where they're highlighting how horrible this stuff is. All right, what a horrible experience this is for Mulan and how she hates it and wishes she could be anywhere else, be anyone other than that person. And then they make her a Disney princess and they take that one scene and that's what she becomes. All right, now, granted, I don't know a whole lot about Disney princesses in a full experience. I've never seen the Disney princesses on ice. I've never sat through an entire Disney princess video. Most of what I know I read online or I've seen from their ads. So, disclaimer, hey, maybe I'm wrong, all right? Maybe, as a Disney princess, Mulan is spending all of her time battling Huns and fighting for women's right to vote in China. I don't know, all right? But I'm guessing that's not it. From everything I've seen, oh, it's just terrible. Why? Why would they do that, all right? And then the last Disney princess, Tiana from Princess and the Frog. See that one? Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's pretty good. All right. So anyway, here's the next interesting part, though, is you know who's not on the list of Disney princesses? All right, one, Rapunzel. We covered that. You knew that one already. But they're going to rectify that, and they're going to bring Rapunzel in as a princess. But also, and I don't know how to say her name, Kaida, I don't know who it is, the Atlantean princess from the movie Atlantis. All right? She is a princess. Absolutely, there is no question that she's a princess, an animated princess at that, from a Disney movie. And she is beautiful, she's strong and capable and talented and powerful. You would think, much like Pocahontas or Mulan or any of these others who are already included, why did they not put her in there? She would have been a spectacular role model. She could have brought so much to the table, but as it turns out, yeah, it's because Atlantis wasn't a musical, I guess. So, she didn't have a signature song. She didn't have anything to perform on the Princess All Music CDs. So, they left her out of it. Really kind of a shame. But who else is not on there? And this is the other one that just kills me. Giselle. All right, have you seen the movie Enchanted? I also love Enchanted. I love, apparently, a lot of Disney princess movies. But the movie Enchanted... All right, no, wait, you know what? Not a lot. I will tell you what. Beauty and the Beast, Mulan, and Rapunzel now, Tangled, and Enchanted. All right, these four are top-notch films for me. All the rest of them, you know, they were enjoyable once. Maybe not so much, but... All right, anyway, back to Enchanted. The movie Enchanted, this was 2007, and... It starts off with an animated Disney-style tale of a princess and a prince and talking woodland animals and an evil queen and the whole business. And then something terrible happens. The witch casts a spell, and the princess winds up falling through a portal into real-world New York. And so now we've translated, and the other characters follow. So what we wind up with is a movie of animated Disney characters from a classic princess tale, transported to modern-day New York City in real life, played by real actors, and hilarity ensues. Okay, I can't tell you, I don't know what it is about this film, I don't know why I am so in love with it. Enchanted is a movie that, for some reason, if it shows up on TV, it is one of those films that it can be midnight, all right, and I'm ready to go to bed, and I'm just flipping through channels for the last time. And, oh my God, the middle of Enchanted, well, I guess I have to watch the rest of it now. And I do, every stinking time. In fact, I dread the idea that Enchanted might be on, because I have to watch it until it's over, and I don't know why. Oh, I love that film. And so the Giselle, the princess from Enchanted, played by Amy Adams, reminds me a lot of the character of Rapunzel. And I think I like her and I like this movie for a lot of the same reasons, because she's this very, very charming character. She's charming and beautiful and talented and the whole business. I mean, she's a princess. And she winds up being put into a situation where none of her life skills are applicable. All right, she now has absolutely no clue how the world functions or how to get by in it, and yet through her own charm and her own skills, she just kind of just bubbles her way through it, and everything works out, and her naive outlook on life actually winds up winning people over and actually brings a kind of honesty to it. Anyway, I find them really charming. And so, the movie Enchanted, wonderful movie. Giselle, a perfect Disney princess. So why is she not included? And I thought to myself, oh, well, it must be because, well, she was only animated for a short bit, you know, now that she's, you know, 90% of the movie or so is live action. I'm figuring, oh, it must be because it's a live action film for most of it, and that's why they didn't include her as a Disney princess. And I look it up, and no, it turns out that the actual reason, they were all ready to put her in. They had it all lined up. They had Giselle merchandise, and they were going to put her songs on the CDs, and they were all ready to put Giselle as an official Disney princess, until someone pointed out that, oh, yeah, crap, but she's played by a live actress, so every time we put her in anything, we have to pay Amy Adams money. And then Disney went, oh, yeah, we don't want to pay Amy Adams any more money. Screw it, let's leave her out. And so they did. And that's just outrageous, because Giselle's awesome. Of course, this is how hypocritical I am, is that I am outraged that they wouldn't include Giselle in the Disney princesses, and yet I've also railed at how horrible anyone that's included in the Disney princesses is, because they've taken great characters like Mulan and others and completely ruined them by putting them into the Disney princesses. So I don't even know why I'm excited for Rapunzel and disappointed for Giselle, because it really makes no sense in my worldview. But that's just the way it goes. And before you ask, yes, I understand that there are some other characters who have been included in Disney princesses. They've never been official princesses, but Nala from The Lion King has made an appearance, but apparently not being human kind of ruled her out. Maid Marian has maybe been included in there. I think even Minnie Mouse at some point gets included. But none of them have ever been official. Except Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell was, I believe, an official Disney princess at first, and then they realized that she just didn't quite fit, and so they spun her off into the Disney Fairies line, the head of Disney Fairies, and that's where it goes. So, I think, oh, wait, last thing, you know, Pixar has always said that they would never do a princess movie, that they would never do a traditional Disney musical-style animated feature. And yet, coming up soon, a new Pixar digitally animated feature called Brave, about a Scottish princess. A Scottish princess who takes up archery, even though girls aren't allowed to do archery, and oh no, now she has put her father's kingdom at risk, and who knows how this ends. I have no idea. I'm just reading the IMDb summary. But I don't know if it's a musical or not, but it sounds like a traditional princess movie. So I'm very interested to see what Pixar's take on the princess genre is, because I have a lot of respect for Pixar, all right? Cars 2 notwithstanding, Pixar is the bomb. And so I'm excited to see what they do with it, all right? And plus, I like a lot of the voice talent that's going to be in Brave. I mean, they got Billy Connolly as the king. They've got, what's the guy? He played the redhead from Rome. Anyway, He plays Prince MacGuffin, and I just think that's hysterical. Kevin Kidd, that's his name. I just think being Lord MacGuffin is just the coolest thing ever. But anyway, hey, enough about that. You guys want to hear some music, right? Okay. Once again, this was Joel. Among other nerdy pursuits, Joel and I share a love of cool cover songs. All right, and so it is not uncommon for Joel to stop by my office and, without saying much, just come over and plug his iPod into my speakers and start playing something cool for me. All right, and that's where this comes in. So Joel comes into my office and says, "Oh my God!" Except I don't think he would say "Oh my God" because I don't think he takes the Lord's name in vain. But paraphrasing Joel, he says, "Oh my God, it's like having the Swedish chef sing Red Hot Chili Peppers for you. It's wonderful." All right, and as it turns out, this is Bjorn Berg, and he is singing Red Hot Chili Peppers, but he's actually Norwegian, not Swedish, and his accent isn't as thick as all that. But as you listen, keep in mind, this is just Bjorn playing guitar and Bjorn singing, and that's it. His guitar, his voice. This guy rocks. He tears a guitar up. So, take a listen.
Yeah, what I got to give it to you, mama. What I got to give it to you, papa. What I got to give it to you, dog, till you do a little done and then you drink a little water. What I got to get it, put it in you. What I got to get it, put it in you. What I got to get it, put it in you. Really, when the feeling don't stop, I continue. When I realize that I wanna be the myself. Don't find which type will be the wiser. Young lover, get the love and never rise. I'm a mirror, but I wanna give another kaiser. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. I can't tell if I'm a given or a barber. Read a little people in a sea of distress. Keep your mouth to the reach in your list. I'm the present my material next. If the Lord is a figure loving me, say a hell yeah. I'm the lone brother, rock a little know-how. No time for the figures or the who's girl. Get down, get smarter with a pound. Well, there's no better place than the right now. Fuck my late poets and the prophets. Fuck my late walking like a talker. Fuck my late talking at the office. The good and the mean, can you see I'm gonna concrete. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. I can't tell the public.
See, amazing, right? Right? Okay, that was Bjorn Berg with Give It Away Now. But he also does, if you like the Red Hot Chili Peppers covers, he also does a version of Suck My Kiss, which I think is probably even a little bit better than that one. And that was actually going to be my first choice to play today. But then I realized if I did that, I'd have to edit out all the motherfuckers, and I am just being way too lazy today. So we went with that one. Both awesome. So check him out. What do I have next? Oh, you know what I have next? I have the badass movie quote of the week. I don't know what voice I use for that anymore, so it's been too long. I'll have to go back and listen. You know what? I should come up with like little segment intros is what I should do. Or I should have someone else come up with them for me, because, again, lazy. But this week's badass movie quote, again, too lazy to go find a sound clip of it, so you'll get to enjoy my rendition of it. This is, oh, God, I've lost it. I'm on the wrong page. See what happens when I'm not prepared? This is from 1985, Paul Rubens. "You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me. I'm a loner, Dottie. A rebel." See? Pee-wee Herman. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That was Pee-wee's one moment to be badass, and he was incredible. All right. But let's also note that the girl he's talking to in that scene, his love interest in that movie, Dottie, all right, that was played by one Elizabeth Daly, who you all know as the voice of Tommy Pickles from the Rugrats, and also, even more important, the voice of Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? But even more important than that, all right, before all of this, before Pee-wee's Big Adventure even, way back in 1982, Elizabeth Daly showed her boobs in a movie called Valley Girl. Why is Valley Girl important? Because Valley Girl was the breakout movie for a young up-and-coming star called Nicolas Cage. That's right. See? Current megastar Nick Cage was once in Valley Girl with Elizabeth Daly, who was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And Nick Cage is, oh my God, I can't believe it interrupted my... It's the phone! Hold on one moment. Oh, and can you believe it? There was nobody there. They hung up after two rings. They interrupted right in the middle. I perfectly choreographed rant. I was on a roll there. And they interrupt right in the middle, and they don't even wait for two rings. I am disgusted. Telemarketers piss me off to no end. So let me finish my little rant. So Nicolas Cage, who the whole point is such a huge nerd that he named his son Kal-El. All right, see, how's that for bringing everything full circle, even with the interruption? All right, so enough of that one. You know what it's time for? It's time for some Pod-O-Matic. Oh, thank you. I have missed you so much, R2. Ah, R2 gives us a 50 straight up. All right. Number 50 says, do you paint your wife's toenails? And then further question, if you have daughters or nieces, say, do you let them paint yours? Well, this is a funny story. As it turns out, no. And no, I have maybe tried to paint my wife's toenails in the past or tried to assist her with some portion of that, and it turns out I have really shaky hands and I'm really terrible at it, so I don't get to help anyway. Probably good for me. And no, I've never let anyone else paint my toenails either, although I don't think I'd have anything against the concept. That would certainly be kind of funny. But it brings me to an interesting story. This summer, we were down at the lake with my family, and my father, who is 63 years old, had painted toenails while we were down at the lake. And we asked him questions about it, and of course, well, the granddaughters painted them up, and you know, he was just playing along, and it was cute and everything. But my brother Kyle, turns out they painted his toenails as well, and he said it freaked him out so bad he had to remove it. He said every time he looked at his feet, he started to become convinced that they weren't his feet. They were someone else's feet attached to his body, and it creeped him out so bad, he had to take the toenail polish off. So, I seriously doubt I would be that weird about it. I again, have never done it, but I can certainly see letting it happen, because, you know, you're just humoring them. That's cool. All right, enough of that. Let's get R2 out here again. R2 gives us a 35. Well, all right. It's nails again. 35 says, for me, it's fingernails on a chalkboard. What is it for you? Well, that one's easy. For me, or it used to be when I was a kid, it was metal on cement. We had metal lawn chairs back then with the big long metal rails along the bottom. And whenever anyone would move a lawn chair across the patio or across the sidewalk and that metal would scrape on the concrete, oh my God, it would nails on a chalkboard, put my teeth on edge, drove me batty. That now, it doesn't bother me in the least at all. But you know what does? Teeth on wood. All right? I don't know why. All right? Not anything else, just teeth. So the idea of eating off of chopsticks, eating off of wooden utensils of any sort, and pulling your teeth across. Oh God, I'm creeping myself out. I gotta stop talking about it. Because I started imagining popsicle sticks. That's the worst one. When you eat popsicles with the wooden tongue depressor sticks in them, and you finish off that last bit of ice cream or popsicle or whatever it is, and you scrape your teeth on the wood, oh my God, I'm killing myself just talking about it. It's terrible. Terrible. For other people, it's balloons. Just having balloons around or rubbing balloons together. Had a friend in college who, and I was not in on this prank, but for his birthday, they went and, while he was sleeping, filled his entire room with balloons as high as they could fill it, so that when he woke up, he was buried underneath a sea of balloons, and I'm surprised he didn't have a heart attack. Others? Styrofoam. Styrofoam does it for a lot of people. If you happen to know my son Gygax, rub two pieces of styrofoam together right next to him, he'll freak out and run away. It's really funny. All right, enough of that one. Come on, Pod-O-Matic! Number 16 says, how many fingers am I holding up? Three. Okay. Pod-O-Matic! And I think this is going to be our last one. Let me look. Number 82. What is the proper way to dispose of a travel bottle of pee? That is a terrible question. Who would have... It doesn't have a name on it. All right, this clearly is a leftover from our previous podcast where we told an entire story about someone unnamed trying to dispose of a travel bottle full of pee. As it turns out, look, there is no proper way to dispose of a travel bottle of pee because, for God's sake, you can't pee while you're driving. Seriously. You know what? If you think texting is bad, try unzipping your fly and peeing in a bottle while not swerving off the road. That, what a horrible, horrible idea. Should I tell the story? Should I? All right. I'll tell this really quick because it embarrasses my brother and not me. One of my brothers, who is a lawyer and has 8 children and will remain unnamed, was on the road to Houston for a deposition because he's a lawyer and all. He's important and stuff. And on the way, he was running late and had to go really bad and did not have time to stop. So, what's a dude to do? He went and peed in a bottle while driving. Didn't crash and die. All right, so he seals up the bottle when he's done. I think it was a Mountain Dew bottle. Not that it's relevant to the story. But he goes ahead and seals that sucker up, and then what do you do with it? All right, because he's not, a lot of people will tell you that you just throw it out the window. Who gives a crap? No, no. You know what? I do highway cleanup with the scouts. For God's sake, don't throw a bottle of pee. Don't throw any garbage out of your car, much less a bottle of pee. Are you serious? Who does that? All right. So assuming that you're even a halfway decent human being, you're not going to just throw it out. So he's not going to stop. He obviously isn't going to stop at a gas station because, well, if he had time to stop at a gas station, he would have had time to stop and pee. So do you just leave it in the car? No, he can't because it's the company car. And now paranoia sets in. Well, if I leave it in the car, what if someone else finds it here? What if I forget about it and someone else finds a bottle of pee in the car? I could hide it under the seat. Well, that's even worse. They'll still find a bottle of pee in the car. All right, so the only thing he could possibly think to do with it is put it in his briefcase. All right, so now he's got a briefcase. And he didn't need the briefcase for the deposition. The briefcase is just to make you look like an important lawyer. It's all for show. So he didn't actually even need to open it while he was at the deposition. So it's cool. It's safe. He puts the bottle of pee in there, locks it up. Not to worry. All right. At this point, he's not even thinking about it. Everything goes smoothly, gets home, done for the day. Next morning, wakes up, goes to his office, sits down at his desk, goes to open his briefcase. Oh, my God, there's a bottle of pee in my briefcase. He completely forgot that he had put it in there. Oh, crap. All right, so now what to do with it? Well, I can't throw it away at work. What am I going to sneak it down? I can't put it in the wastebasket here, obviously, because then, you know, the cleaning ladies will see my bottle of pee. And, well, if I sneak it down to the restroom, what if somebody sees me? What if, you know what, I just have to wait until I get home and remember to just throw it out at home, right? That's the obvious solution. Okay, that's what we'll do. So you put it back in the briefcase, lock it up, hide it under the desk. All right, go home for the day, everything's cool. Come back the next morning, get to your desk, open up the briefcase. Oh my God, there's still a bottle of pee in here! All right, 3 days in a row he did this. 3 days! Until finally that night, all right, finally he remembers. All right, that's it. All right, he gets home. It's going to be trash day tomorrow anyway. Put it in the outside garbage can. Put it down at the bottom underneath some stuff so nobody spots it. Safe. All right, now, let's remember all of this. Putting it in the briefcase, not throwing it away right away, forgetting about it, wanting to go to all these lengths to hide it, is also that nobody would know that he had a bottle of pee in his briefcase. That was the whole point of this rigmarole. Is so no one would know. But then, once it was all done, it was such a great story, he told everybody. So, that's how I know, and thus I get to share with you, you lucky dogs. And then ultimately, what happened to the briefcase? If any of you have been on the website, and you know Talvin, Talvin actually won that briefcase from us in a contest from our old podcast. And he won that briefcase along with a couple of Aflac ducks, little stuffed ducks. So congratulations, Talvin. Awesome. Well, I think that's the end. You know what? Episode 6, I'm back. I feel really good. I'm so glad you guys joined me. Thank you. We'll go ahead and get to the end credits. This podcast is copyright 2011 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is from Sabotage by the Penelopes. Our music this week was Bjorn Berg. And if you feel like doing something nice for the podcast, head on over to iTunes, write up a nice review. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, or better yet, check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio, or to be totally honest, really the best way to talk to me, come over to our forums, all right? nerdprideradio.com/forums. Sign up for an account, send me a message, talk on the boards, hang out, have fun. It's an awesome place to be. Enjoy your closing music. We'll be right back. worthless, no good, goddamn freeloading son of a bitch, retarded, big mouth, know-it-all asshole jerk. You forgot ugly, lazy, and disrespectful. Shut up, bitch! Go fix me turkey pot pie.